Welcome, welcome everyone to Disrupt Tech Podcast. This is our second podcast. We recorded our first one about 2 months ago and had the idea to record it every week, and that's still what we want to do, but we decided to take a break and really look at the direction that we wanted this podcast to go into, that we wanted to make sure that we were heeding to our mission. And I don't know if I had described that in the first episode, so let me describe it again. Basically, what this podcast does is we are addressing the world of technology. Now, that sounds pretty broad, but it's not a broad mission. I want to make it very clear that the point of Disrupt Tech Podcast is to actually simplify technology for all of us everyday people who count on technology, not only in our personal life, but a lot of us in our professional life. It's the way of the world, and it's only growing, and it's growing fast. It's happening in mere seconds and not light years, where one day something is a trend, another day it's not a trend. One day a social media platform is the most popular and the most useful resource for your business, and the next day it's played out. So we wanted this podcast to really break it down for you every week, the things that you need to know in the areas of social media, mobile apps, websites, trends, and all the things that can help you be more effective. It's not about complicating your life. It's about simplifying it in the world of tech, disrupting tech for your advantage, or as we say, wielding virtual reality to your satisfaction. So that's what this podcast stands to do. And we focus a lot on every industry. For example, today we are very excited about this podcast. We are going to be talking about the nonprofit sector. And this is a very key industry right now as we go into the holiday season. I personally worked in nonprofits for 10 years, and I can tell you personally during this time, you know, going into November, holidays are huge for charities and nonprofit organizations, raising funding, money, volunteers, helping the less fortunate. It's called the season of giving. I'm not going to say I've always agreed with that. I think we should be doing it all year, but the way that this has been going on traditionally is that this is the season where people have, one, more time to give back, to volunteer. A lot of holidays call for a lot of days off of work, as well as financially. It's a time where people find it best to donate and to give as a result of it being the end of the year. And donations are tax write-offs. I mean, let's just be real about it. And not saying that their donation isn't as important, but it does spike donations, volunteerism, all those things. So today I'm going to be bringing on Nadia Lee. When I knew her, she was Nadia Sicard. She got married a few years ago, but I'm going to be bringing her on when we actually worked together at a nonprofit organization in Washington, D.C. for several years. And she has gone on to be the director. I'll actually let her explain her title and everything she does. But she has a very great lead role at the Statue of Liberty Foundation. But again, I'll let her kind of get into her role and her position and what she does. So she's going to join us on this podcast today to talk about not only the season of giving, but how technology plays a role in it now, as far as the way people can give and provide funding and donations, the way people can volunteer, and how technology helps with streamlining all of that now. And so she's going to give us her experience as well as give tips to other nonprofit organizations and charities, as well as tips to people who want to donate and want to be a part of the season of giving in a more streamlined way through technology. So this should be a very exciting podcast. I'm excited to bring her on. I'm just excited to hear her talk. She's always very passionate about what she does, and so I always love to have a conversation with her. We're just gonna be having that conversation live today. So we'll be welcoming her shortly. But before we get into that, I do want to say, as I addressed earlier, that this month has been, the last few months has been really directing this podcast. We don't want this to just be any other regular podcast. We want this to be effective. We want to make sure that we are catering to you, our audience. So we're very excited about the last few months and what we've discovered. One big thing is shortly after we did our first podcast, we headed to Nairobi, Kenya. Nairobi City is the capital of Kenya. And that we were there for 3 weeks, which is also why we didn't do a podcast. It's a trip that can't really be explained, but I'll do my best. But we were in Nairobi City, Kenya, the capital, and it was a glorious experience. We were able to not only enjoy ourselves personally, but professionally, really kind of dive into kind of the tech scene in Kenya, which not only do we not hear about, it's never discussed, but I even, you know, just kind of being in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, United States, didn't even know that Kenya had such amazing tech scene and the way that they're utilizing technology to be more on the mainstream platform in the world. And I got to speak to some amazing people. I got to see some amazing things. So that was a beautiful trip, and I'll definitely go more into my Kenya experience in future episodes, but that also helped us gear towards what we want to set out and do. And I'll be bringing on some amazing people that I met in Kenya a little bit later on in future episodes as well. So you'll get to really enjoy that. So, so today we'll be speaking with, like I said, Nadia Lee, who will be coming on. In addition to that, I also want to bring up the season of giving one more time, to address the fact that this is definitely a huge season. But for all you people out there who want to utilize technology outside of the nonprofit sector, whatever your industry may be, really, really listen to what she has to say. Because even though she's in the nonprofit sector, and like I said, I've spent years in the nonprofit sector, there's really going to be a great deal of information here and a great deal of information in this podcast to help everyone who wants to really capitalize on holiday spending, holiday giving, and making it easier for your customers and your clients to kind of get on board with supporting you, whether it's financially, physically, whatever your industry is. Pay attention to what you hear in this podcast. And again, we'll address several of these issues as we go on, especially next week as well. So you'll be able to, you know, kind of get multiple streams of information. But this is something that a lot of businesses, a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of amazing innovators just really drop the ball on not knowing how to navigate this season. So definitely pay attention to that. So again, we will be bringing on Nadia Lee shortly. And so I want you guys to really enjoy hearing our conversation. We tend to have great conversations. We always have since the day we met. Again, as you can see, I'm very excited to bring her on. In addition to that, I'll just get it out of the way. Please remember that Disrupt Tech does air. We do our show every Monday. But on Fridays, we also do a live cast on YouTube. The YouTube channel is Disrupt Tech, where we encourage you to drop comments, questions, definitely questions of anything that you hear here that you want further information on. Go to our social media pages, Disrupt Tech. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, Disrupt Tech as well, and Instagram. So feel free to write any comments or questions that you may have, and we will be addressing them every Friday on our live cast on YouTube. Any questions that you may have, where we will make sure that we are, again, this is hands-on. This isn't just hearing a bunch of people talk. We are a hands-on podcast. We want to make sure you have the information, you understand the information, that we're following up with you on any insights that you may have during this time. So we're going to take a quick break right now, And after that break, we will be bringing on Nadia Lee. So everyone stay tuned. We'll be back in a few seconds. Hello, and we are back with Nadia Lee, who is on the podcast with us. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. So, please, I've already given you literally a 10-minute introduction. I'll be very honest with you. talking about how we used to work together, what you're doing now. But I'm going to kind of let everyone hear from the horse's mouth kind of what you're doing right now as far as where you are. I know you're in New York, the organization, your title, and all that fun stuff.
Of course. So, yes, I'm in New York. I work in downtown Manhattan. I'm the fundraising and marketing director for the Statue of Liberty Ellis Island Foundation. I've been at this job for a little over 3 years, but I've been in the nonprofit sector for, goodness, almost 10 years now.
Oh, I remember when you started, so that's crazy. Yeah. Well, not really started, but when you were your prime.
So I'd say I'm kind of in my prime right now,
Oh, that's true. That's actually true. If we look at the definition of prime, you're pretty much in your prime right now. So well, that's true. So what is the mission of the organization?
So the Statue of Liberty Ellis Island Foundation is a partner of the National Park Service. So we don't run the islands. We're not managing the day-to-day there, which is a pretty common misconception. What we do is raise funds for the restoration and preservation of both the Statue of Liberty and of Ellis Island. So we are the fundraising branch of the Park Service for major projects and restoration and preservation so that the islands continue to exist and be there for people to come and visit. So right now, our major project is the Statue of Liberty Museum. So this is a $100 million project for a museum on Liberty Island to grant access to all visitors to get the full story of Liberty. Right now, there's about 4.5 million visitors to Liberty Island every year, and only 18% of those people can actually enter the statue and go to the pedestal. But only 7% can actually go to the crown. So it kind of takes away from the experience for a lot of people who come from all over the world expecting to go and see Lady Liberty and get that holistic experience. But this
right. So they have to basically like take pictures from afar because of that? Because of that percentage?
They're like right up on her. Like they can be close, but they just are outside.
Okay.
So they don't get to go in. They don't get to see the museum inside of the pedestal. So they're missing out on a lot of the educational component as well. But the museum will provide that educational component. You'll start off, you'll go through the immersive theater, which is it's the opportunity to see what it's like to go up into the statue. So it's floor to ceiling screens. So you really feel like you're in there. And then as you make your way through the immersive theater, you end up in the engagement gallery. Well, you'll get to feel like you're in Bartholdi's workshop as he's constructing the statue. And there's a lot of other different exciting exhibits you'll get to see that really immerse you in Lady Liberty's story. And ultimately, you'll end up in the inspiration gallery, which have floor-to-ceiling windows. You get a beautiful view of the Manhattan skyline and, more importantly, Lady Liberty. But the coolest thing about the Inspiration Gallery is the statue's original torch, which was removed in the 80s and currently lives inside of the statue's pedestal, is going to be moving from the statue's pedestal into this museum. And you'll get to see it up close in the Inspiration Gallery.
Okay, and how long has this been going on? Because I've only kind of seen several videos of you, or maybe just one, but a lot of updates on social media about that kind of this project and it being in its works and things like that. So how long has that been going on? And when is it completed, or is it, what's the completion date?
It's not completed yet. So we broke ground in October of 2016.
Okay.
And we have been in major fundraising mode for about 2 years now. And the project is set to be complete and the museum open next May. May of 2019, people.
Nice.
I know.
I'm excited. I'm definitely going to come. I've never been to the Statue of Liberty, and I'm trying to figure out now why, because I feel like I frequent New York, but I don't think I've ever... took me my entire life to see the Liberty Bell, and it's in Philly, so it doesn't actually surprise me that I probably...
I feel like people who live in cities, you know, we have trouble with lines. Like, I grew up right outside of D.C., and I've never been in the White House, and I'd only been to the Capitol because of a school field trip.
Mm.
So it's like we have these amazing monuments that we can partake in our city and this culture. And we look at that line and we're like, tourists.
Never mind.
And we keep it moving, you know?
Yeah, that's because true.
It's all it kind of
leads into kind of our next kind of area where, you know, you're doing all of the, you have this huge project going on. You're doing all of this fundraising, you're doing all of, and like I said, I've seen videos and things like that. So how are you utilizing technology or to different technology softwares in your fundraising? I'm going to give you a specific question there, then I'm going to take it a little broader. But as far as for this specific project, like how have you had to utilize technology to really get the point across, to get funders, you know, potential investors, things like that for the organization?
So we use technology, and obviously like all nonprofits, as much as we can, but we, for our marketing, we have a pretty robust list. So we use Cheetah Digital, which recently broke off from Experian. So we aren't on MailChimp or Constant Contact, like a lot of nonprofits, because we have this large list that we have to manage, and at some point those softwares don't make sense.
Right.
I apologize, MailChimp.
No, I agree with you. I mean, because there's certain technologies that are used for more, I don't want to say smaller organizations, but yeah, that's the term, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, and that's okay. You know.
Yeah, but for when you're dealing with a project like this that will ultimately impact the city, you know, that's a much bigger project, and as far as the budget as well. So using MailChimp and all of that doesn't make sense. So these are technologies that people don't hear about, you know, on a broader scale. So I want you to talk about those. And there's no disrespect to MailChimp.
No, I love MailChimp. I used MailChimp at my last job when we had a list of like 1,500.
Right.
And I feel like Martha's Table was a perfect place for Constant Contact or MailChimp because it's more grassroots.
That's true.
I'm sure you talked about Martha's Table earlier.
I did. I didn't say the name, but yes, that I said we worked at an organization together in Washington, D.C., but yes, it was Martha's Table for our audience.
Wonderful organization.
No, you're good.
So here, I also use Google Analytics, and for any nonprofit, I highly recommend getting that Google grant, where you get $10,000 a month in free Google advertising.
Yes.
Totally worth it.
Yes.
But I also recommend, for those who are short on time and short on budget, I work with this fantastic organization based out of California, where I'm often jealous of their weather, called Community Boost. And they help me make sure that I am staying compliant with all of Google's new rules, so I can keep my grant. And they do it for a pretty good price. So I definitely think for nonprofits with small teams, if you can't manage it, outsource it. There are vendors out there that aren't too expensive. And I know we like to believe that we can do everything ourselves, but it's hard. And I think focus on what your meat and potatoes is. And for the other things that kind of need to be ongoing, there is no harm in finding someone who is an expert in that and having them do it for you.
I agree completely. Now, can you, let's back up for 1 second. So when you say kind of, let's go back to the Google grant. So first things first, you applied for the Google grant.
Well, we had the Google grant when I got here.
Okay.
So I was lucky, but you can apply for the Google grant, go through a process with them, show that you're a legitimate 501c3 and that you would really benefit from this and you would take advantage. And then you can use the AdWords program. Everyone who has ever searched Google, which is everyone, has seen Google Ads come up at the top or a sponsored post. On the, there's no more sidebar ones, so now they're all at the top or the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that is where nonprofits want to be, you know, and if they have to pay to get there, pay to get there.
But yeah, and that's what I'm trying to like kind of show the step process. So it's like, okay, first things first, you applied for the Google grant, you were able to be awarded that. And Google, and I have to, I can, from personal experience, Google is really great with their grant funding. They're don't get me wrong, they have requirements and you want to, you know, obviously, you know, meet those standard requirements, but they're really, really great at accepting a lot of proposals and a lot of grant applications. Yeah. Well, so it's like, it's really no harm in trying. It's, and you, the benefit of being is phenomenal. Cause yeah. I got a grant last year. Just, I mean, and this was very small. It was just to attend the Grace Hopper Conference in Florida, but it was phenomenal. It was 4 days of Google totally taking care of us. And so that was, you know, and bringing on everyone, every big giant in the tech industry, as far as, I mean, especially in social media, Twitter was there, Microsoft. I can't even, we would be on this podcast all day if I even started talking about it, but put us in a room with a lot of great heavy hitters. So first things first, apply for the Google grants if you are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Then when you get the funding, what's the other company that you just praised from California?
Community Boost. I love Community Boost.
Now, how did you get involved with them?
So they were referred to us from another organization.
Okay.
And it's been a very good experience. But if you have the capacity and you want to manage it in-house, go for it. Google also has a great YouTube channel that teaches you how to learn the ins and outs of the AdWords program and analytics. So you can do it yourself. It just depends on bandwidth. Some nonprofit teams for development are one person. Some are 10 people. So depending on where you live on that spectrum, you know, you either have time or you don't.
That's true. That's true. So for your overall mission, as far as, you know, outside of funding, just for a second, if we're going to step out of it for a second and just talk about just the day to day, as far as how you utilize social media and platforms like that to get get awareness of not just for funding and donations, but just general information or get, you know, just a general audience for the organization. How do you utilize that kind of in your department?
So we are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. We have a Pinterest. We're not super active on Pinterest. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like you need to be on Pinterest like super actively. Like if you have your stuff and you have solid boards, you'll come up in searches. There are benefits to using it. I had to prioritize and it didn't make the cut when I was prioritizing because right. most of our people live on Facebook or Twitter. I like Instagram because it helps us get a different audience of people who don't feel like reading a bunch of words on Facebook. Although now with Instagram's new algorithm, you want to write more because when people spend more time on your post, you come up higher in feed because right. the feeds aren't chronological anymore. They're based on the quality of your post and how much time people spend looking at you. With Facebook has definitely become pay to play. Luckily, we have a very strong and active following who are primarily, I'd say, people who have roots through Ellis Island. So we've used a combination of text posts, historical posts, and beauty shots of the statue to really engage our people. So there was a time, maybe a year ago, where we just wrote literally like, where are you from? And we got almost 500 comments of people telling us all about their ancestors and their aunt who came through here from here on this boat in this year. And like, people are really excited to share this information, and social media has given them the ability to do that.
Right. And it also makes it, you know, helpful with your demographics.
Mm-hmm. So we can know what people are interested in and why they're coming to us, so we can cater our messaging to continue to talk about what they want to talk about. You know, it humanizes organizations and gives us the opportunity to connect with people on a different level, where we're just not someone they write a check to, but we're someone they want to talk to.
That's interesting. And it kind of goes into literally my follow-up question was going to be, you know, as far as taking it out of your own head, which is kind of hard to do sometimes, and looking at it from the, you know, your audience and your donors, you know, how do they respond to the way that you guys use technology as far as one, your social media, and then as well as how you've been, like you said, as far as with the donors, how you've been reaching out to them. Like, what has your response been with those two social media platforms, but I'm gonna address them as one platform right now. And then the other one, the donor platform as well.
Well, a great opportunity on social media for people who are already giving to you is retargeting. So we take the email addresses of people who have purchased something or made a donation. We can upload those into Facebook and follow people around with an ad. So like when you go and see a pair of shoes and all of a sudden those shoes are stalking you across the internet,
right?
We have the ability to do that. So you want to go to your people who are just your engaged audience and your donors and purchasers a little differently. Obviously, ideally you want those people who aren't donating to convert, but it's also nice to have them talking about you as your advocates. You have to become a little realistic with who just wants to talk to you and who wants to give to you, and really utilize them accordingly. If someone isn't going to convert, but they're going to continue to share our posts, maybe the people who are seeing those shared posts are going to come to our page and make a donation. So they're just as valuable. And it's important to recognize your different audiences. So with social media, that's a pretty big part. It's just knowing who you're speaking to and speaking to them the way they want to be spoken to.
Well, you know, yeah. And let's talk a little bit about consistency in your target message. So, you know, that's something that's, I think, key, is just kind of being consistent across the board, whether you're talking to, well, I mean, your message and your language will be different with, like you said, with your audience. But if we go back into social media a bit, you know, how are you consistent with your target messaging? So do you guys use mimes? Do you only use words? Do you only use videos, or just a combination of both? And how do you do it? You know, how do you see your audience responding to that? Because I've had a lot of people that I've worked with, especially when we're talking about digital marketing, and they kind of get frustrated because they don't know which one to do. I had this one organization I was working with where they were only kind of putting out mimes, because like you said, people don't really like to read anymore these days. So, you know, they were only putting out just kind of images with their website on it or things like that. And that worked for a while, but then it died off. So how, sure. You know, but then you don't want to be inconsistent and then switch from that to something else, because then it just looks like you're, you know, in a web confusion. So how do you kind of address
that? I think the consistency needs to be in your message, not in your delivery. If you're posting videos, images, quotes, historical information, but it's all centered around your key mission, then you're good, because diversity in your posts keeps you interesting and engaging. Mm-hmm. I don't always want to watch a 30-second video. Sometimes I like a good meme. We haven't used memes yet. I don't know if it's exactly appropriate for us, but I could see a lot of nonprofits making use of that, you know? So I think it's finding what you want to say, delivering it in different ways, and engaging people that way, because your audience varies. So diversity of content keeps all of the different people coming back.
That's true. So, I mean, that's a good point. And also, I guess what I'm thinking in my head is, I think you're absolutely right. It's just also about catering to the different platforms. So it's not only, like you said, your message should be consistent. But like you said, Instagram was once you just post a picture, people respond to the picture, that's great. Now, you know, with new algorithms, yes. So now you want to write more, so now it's engaging more content as opposed to just the images.
Right, and hashtags on Facebook are dead. Like, nobody cares about hashtags on Facebook anymore, unless you're making a joke, like hashtag talk to Zarina. Like, but it's like nobody's gonna search that hashtag. You know, like hashtags on Instagram and Twitter are still relevant.
Right. And now LinkedIn is doing hashtags, which I just kind of feel like they're late to the game. I'm sorry. And now it's like every time you go to post on LinkedIn, they like have these like suggested hashtags.
I know. And sometimes they're wrong. That's not what I'm talking about.
I know. And they just incorporated the hashtags have been around for like a few months on LinkedIn, but then now they're like, oh, now you can post a video. And I'm like, what is going on? It's just like a little. So I think, you know, the messaging on LinkedIn is a little different. But I agree with you that with Twitter and Instagram, hashtags are still relevant. And Facebook took it on, but I just don't think I've never heard of anyone searching for hashtags. So that's
a good point. And there was a point, a brief moment in time when hashtags on Facebook were helpful, but now Facebook just looks for keywords. So if you typed in Halloween, whether someone put a hashtag Halloween or the word Halloween is in their post, both come up. So you might as well just keep it organic and have it in your post.
I'm going to do a sidetrack question. Because, I mean, like, since we're already discussing Facebook, do you find any trouble, you know, just kind of professionally or in the business world, dealing with a lot of Facebook's new standards and policies as a result of they've had a little bit of fire this past year with privacy? So they've kind of gone full strong with initiating, you know, like, if you blow your nose, they're like, oh, we flag it. So have you had any of those? Have you had any experiences with now kind of, or for example, I'll give you a perfect example for my business. We used to be linked to other posting sites. Like, you know how you can always link your Facebook page or whatever.
Sure.
A lot of those, you can't do that anymore. And they list the reason that you can no longer connect your Facebook account to the new community standards that Facebook has implemented as a result of the fire that they just had to put out. So I'm just wondering if you've had any experience with that.
Any flags. I apologize if you hear construction in the background.
I know. I'm trying to zone it out. And, yeah, you know, that's downtown living. That's downtown living and working. So I apologize to everyone
it's
for
this
that.
This or like really loud buses outside. really do anything about it. So
go ahead. I'm sorry.
We haven't gotten any flags or anything. But one thing that I will say was a challenge to overcome was it was basically based on engagement. So people were starting to do like use a heart for this or a like for that. Or share photos in the comments or tell us what you think in the comments below. And Facebook started flagging those types of posts throughout the industry because they felt it was like rigging the system. Like people right. aren't engaging because your post is exciting. They're engaging because you are prompting them to do so.
Right. You're telling them.
You're leading the witness.
I love that. I love that analogy. That was perfect.
When they took that away, that was a hit to nonprofits because it was like, happy Halloween, show us all of your photos in the comments. Like right. all of a sudden your post would be super engaging and you'd be at the top, but now they would flag that and your post wouldn't show up.
Exactly.
So I feel like every time it's like parenting. Every time you figure it out, it changes. And you're like, oh man, I really liked this new rule. And there it goes. So it's a lot of, you know, figuring it out over and over and over again. So you have to be super patient and willing to relearn the basics.
True. And I have it's not really a trick question, but it's what do you think is, as far as business, that we're not paying attention to right now, and especially for nonprofits? Let me put that out there. Nonprofits and small businesses as well. What do you think we're not paying attention to right now that's just going to jump up and grab us and drag us in the water? I know that was really an odd question, but what platform do you think that is kind of, if you know of any that are up and coming or the ones that are around now that just aren't that big, that are just going to show up? You know, like I think that everyone can agree. A lot of these just showed up. Facebook, not so much. Mm-hmm. If we remember the, you know, dinosaur days of MySpace. Those didn't just show up, but then Twitter and Instagram and LinkedIn, I mean, they just literally overnight just became these huge. What
I think that a lot of the ones that are showing up, they aren't sticking around. Like Vine is dead. And Snapchat, once people figured out that once Snapchat released analytics, I mean, there's also the whole argument of the Kylie Jenner thing, but we're not going to go into that. But once Snapchat released analytics, businesses were like, wait, nobody's looking at my stuff. Why am I investing in this? So then that went the way of the dinosaur. And it's like, there's new ones. Like my nephews were on Kick for a while, which is like a chat thing that some nonprofits were considering exploring. Mm-hmm. And that died. But I mean, it really depends on your audience. Who are you targeting and where are they? But at least for nonprofits like us, I think sticking with the ones that have proven validity, like Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, is the place to go right now. And I wouldn't deviate until a following is built on one of these new platforms. Because you're
going to... I think it's interesting for you to say that, because that's exactly my thought. I see so many small businesses in particular, kind of, you know, you're so anxious to kind of get your word out there that every new thing you kind of jump on it, and you kind of put yourself through a social media exhaustion where you're like, you can't even keep up with all of these, you know, different platforms that are coming out, and then they're falling and new ones are rising. Where I agree with you, where it's like, stick to the ones that Facebook's been around, what, since 2003? Twitter, stick for now. And, you know, and it's because sometimes I think people want to jump on the bandwagon before it's big, which I
sure understand. I get it. It's new. Yeah. It's fun. It's sexy. Like it's people want to follow along with that, but do what you do well, you know, don't spread yourself so thin that you're on like 15 different platforms exactly. And you're not doing any of them as well as they should be done.
Right.
Like it's more important to really focus on your core base, speak to them where they are. If your people aren't on Facebook, you should have a Facebook presence just to establish like validity of your organization. But if everybody's on Twitter, spend most of your time on Twitter. If everybody's on Instagram, spend most of your time on Instagram. Like, don't be there just to be there. Be there and have a purpose.
And personally for me, I prefer Facebook. I prefer Facebook for several reasons. And that's only because I think they're good. It's good for business. Like when you have a Facebook page, it's like you can do so much with it, where it's like you can take, you know, calls, and, you know, the minute someone goes to your page, the message comes up like, how can we help you? And people can rate your business and they have reviews. So basically like a Facebook business page encompasses everything else on the internet, right? Like Yelp, everything, your website, it literally is
Instagram.
They designed their business pages to be that one-stop shop where people can read your reviews, they can read about your mission, they can call you, they can, you know, everything is done in that one platform.
And if you do a paid ad on Facebook, it'll also go onto your Instagram. And
that's true.
Covering both places. Like we've promoted videos and it's like, all right, I'll do this promotion through Facebook. I'll get these awesome analytics so I know whether or not it's working. I can do the A/B testing to see which keywords are best, which geo-targeting is best. And I can have it go to both platforms. Like, why wouldn't I do that? Why wouldn't I diversify my audience with one budget?
And that's because, you know what? Facebook was smart, you know, a few years ago when they purchased Instagram. You know, they wanted to be that force. And they knew that that would accomplish it. So I totally agree. But I know I only have 2 more minutes with you, which I hate. I actually told in my introduction how you and I can get on some great conversations and we always have. I'm gonna ask you one final question, and that's really, you know, we talked about a lot here. We talked about social media platforms, donors, etc. So the final question, Ms. Nadia, is what do you recommend? I know you've kind of thrown a few things out here in this cast, but what for nonprofits specifically, as far as technologies and softwares, do you recommend? You can repeat ones you've already said if you like, and then add some more.
I recommend Hootsuite for people juggling multiple social media platforms.
Right.
I think it's important to have kind of a home base for managing your stuff. Bitly for your links. I think what a lot of people miss out on is really taking advantage of that data. Like, it's not just about throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks, you know? Like, you have to know why it stuck in order to do that again.
Right.
So I think softwares that have analytics are best, especially for small nonprofits to help them make strategic decisions. And that leads me back to Facebook and Instagram. Facebook analytics is a great tool for people who are trying to figure out who, what, where, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What time of day do I post? What types of stuff do I post? Does this picture work better or this picture? If I do these two ads, run them to the same exact audience, give them the same exact budget, which one performed better and why? You know, I think a lot of technology, people kind of just use it and think it's going to do it. But you need to figure out why things are working. Even with this technology that does so much for us, it's not a sit and leave it. You're still learning and exploring and figuring out what works. So I think that is a really important thing to remember with that technology. Obviously, I talked about Google Grants with data. Use your analytics. Dig deep into this stuff. It's really interesting to see what brings people from your homepage to your donate page, you know, right. And like what you can do to make that user experience on your website better. And you can learn that all for free on Google Analytics by just embedding some tracking links. You know, it's really simple to do and totally worthwhile. I guess if we're talking basic technology, you have your emails. Stop putting 50 million different links in your emails. Every right. link in that email should go to the action that you want people to take, which right. most of the time is the donate page. I don't care if it says learn more. Go to the donate page. Like, the fewer steps people have to take, the more likely they are going to be to do that action. So,
and you know, and this can be consistent. I know everyone, and we're going to have a podcast about that as well, is really obviously launching into the holiday season and mm-hmm. you know, trying to make sure that you're getting your donations and everything. A lot of people kind of gear off like, oh my God, you know, this is freak out time. Let me start doing all these other things. But if, again, going back to consistency, if you've already been building this up, the holiday season is the traffic will increase, but your system should still be in play.
Right. Consistency, like don't all of a sudden have 50 million ads on your Facebook right. page because people are going to be totally turned off.
Right.
There's just so.
Because yeah. I feel like it's consumers, donors, you know, wherever, however you're working, for profit, nonprofit. This is also a season that people have to remember they get exhausted because everyone's yeah. coming out. With so everything that they can. I mean, not only just, I mean, stores, shops, food. Mm-hmm. Every industry is coming at them full blown. You know, it's the last quarter of the fiscal year, all of that. So I think consistency is definitely key.
Giving Tuesday has become a brawl, but you know, I know this isn't the holiday podcast, and we can talk about this offline too. But like, Giving Tuesday, man. Good luck out there. Winter is coming.
Yes, that's true. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I'm so happy you were there or here. I don't know why I said there. But thanks for tuning in. And I actually want to bring you on for a few other podcasts in the future. So again, Nadia Lee, thank you so much. Enjoy thank the rest you. Of your day. I appreciate it.
Of course.
And again, and shout out your organization again, just to rep your org.
Statue of Liberty Ellis Island Foundation, building the Statue of Liberty Museum, statueoflibertymuseum.org/liberty is the donate page. Become a founder, get your commemorative medallion, once in a lifetime, people. Let's do this.
Let's do this. Okay, thank you so much for being on, and so good, talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Serena. Thanks, everybody. Bye. Take care. Bye.
All right, we are back, closing out an amazing podcast. Thank you so much again to Nadia Lee. She gave amazing insights and tips on great softwares and technologies to use if you're in the nonprofit sector, as well as social media platforms. And we really addressed consistency. And I think that's what
this podcast is about, is streamlining these processes. There's so much out there in the virtual world, so much going on, so much information that it just becomes overwhelming. And a lot of people don't know how to really navigate that tech world to their benefit. So that's what we're here for. So again, big shout out to Nadia. Thank you so much for being on and really not only addressing what works for the nonprofit sector, but small businesses, as well as many mid-level for-profits. I think she did a great job of tackling all that we need to know, especially with consistency in our marketing and with receiving donors, even investors. So thank you again. So that wraps up this episode. I want to remind you again that we do live cast on our YouTube channel. So be on the lookout for that. In the meantime, feel free to drop your comments, questions, any questions you may have regarding this podcast. Please comment and make and answer the questions so we can get them in time to address them on our live cast. We will have a new episode coming to you next week, and this should be a very, very fun episode. Look out on our social media once again for that, and what we'll be discussing and how much fun we'll be having and who our special guests will be. So thank you again, everyone, for joining us, and we will wrap it up here. As I always say, Disrupt Tech, be on the lookout for us. We are wielding the virtual world to your satisfaction. Goodbye, everyone. Have a great week.